you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station. The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Each one of our regulars got in some good burns today.
They both did.
Yeah, they got us.
We gonna bring that back, right?
Nico Horner joins us, the Odyssey softball team.
We don't need you.
No, I'm good. Buddy. I'll cheer. I can cheer. Or I can just sit and criticize like you guys do.
Yeah, perfect. Talk to Craig Council about the state of the Cubs.
The fans are restless. We deal with them, and especially like when we've been positive, when things don't go well, they come at us. They come at anybody.
And here it comes. Let's listen.
Anything I can do for you?
Yeah, I appreciate that, Craig. That's where I'm going.
I felt like a straight man in some horrible sketch. He was riffing on my thing. Instead of an apology, he was bebopping and scatting all over me.
Did you see the meme? You were memed very well last week with the hat head.
No, I try to stay away from that. I think that's healthy for me.
Don't you think he needs somebody in his life that tells him when he's been memed? You think?
We could be that for you, Craig.
Oh, God.
Hey, you guys are so much for me already. I don't want to put too much on your plate.
All right, fine, smartass.
Fact.
You guys are already so much for me.
You guys are so much for me already.
You fellas have a lot of growing up to do, I'll tell you that. Ridiculous. Completely ridiculous. Can you believe these characters? Way out of line. I have a good mind to go to the warden about this. You know what hurts the most is the lack of respect. You know? That's what hurts the most. Except for the other thing. That hurts the most. But the lack of respect hurts the second most.
One, two, three,
and here we go, Tim.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons from 2 to 6 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
The nerve. The nerve of Nico Horner and Craig Council to lash out at warm radio hosts like myself and Danny Parkins. But the truth is, they're just kind of joining in on our love language, which is, of course, the busting of balls. With that, welcome this jamoke, Ryan McGuffey, to the show. Ryan McGuffey. What's the title over at NBC Sports Chicago, sir?
Unicorn?
The Kristaps Porzingis of NBC Sports Chicago.
Yeah. No, technically a coordinating producer of live events.
Coordinating producer of live events.
So I'm overseeing this White Sox game as we speak.
Oh, yeah. How's that going?
So sorry about that.
But no,
we ain't taking that.
He is overseeing it. It's over there. It's on the TV here in the corner of the studio. Yeah, Lawrence called you a television executive, and I was like, he is? I guess he is.
Yeah.
My bad. That's interesting. So well, you got going for you.
You know, at some point, leadership will hit you in the face.
So if you stick around long enough, all of a sudden, you're coordinating producers and in charge of live events.
I love it. I'd like to lead... lead a group as much as I can.
So. Yeah, well, it's a beautiful thing. It gives you a
start
window.
Start with this one here.
Yeah, would you take care of it? I recommend Tanny first because you'll be able to get him along pretty quick because he's already pretty good.
Yeah, I would say that open was pretty good. Yeah, so here we go.
He's pretty good. He's pretty good at most stuff. He's responsible and everything like that.
Northwest side guy.
Yeah,
I mean, not giving away addresses, but you know,
me and Shane will both be heavier lifts than Tanny. You know, so work on him.
We know. It's okay. I take copay. So,
and then Danny, well, you can't handle that.
Well, that's why I'm here.
But you might know, listeners, Ryan McGuffey from the White Sox Talk podcast. But you also hopefully know him from many, many times filling in right here on The Score and us getting a chance to work together. And I love talking about all sports with you. You have a wide and deep trove of knowledge on all sports in this town and a context as a athlete yourself, a former college football player. So I always enjoy getting into everything. And over the course of the day, we'll talk plenty. Going to talk some basketball later on. Could be a couple football things that that peek their way in. That's for sure. But certainly some Cubs and some Sox and a bunch of other things. And as I mentioned in transition, candy. There will be a candy conversation later on. And also something meaningful is happening that we have to observe as a show. And it's happening late in the 3 o'clock hour, and none of you have guessed so far. God. So we're gonna get there. It's happening. And I'm looking forward to discussing it with you.
I'm gonna hope to have a guest before then.
Yeah. Well you probably will. By the way, a simple way to listen to our show, Mully and Haw, Bernsey and Holmes, and everything the Score has to offer is with the free Odyssey app. Follow 670 the Score in the Odyssey app and take us wherever you may go. Here's the thing about tonight on the television, and we're gonna talk to you guys about a million different things, but tonight on the television, this MLB game at Rickwood Field in Alabama, I'm psyched about it on a number of levels. There's a lot of plates spinning on this broadcast, a lot of plates spinning really with the whole experience that's going on down there in Alabama. But one of the things that I think is sort of getting forgotten is that this is a continuation of the successful experiment that was the Field of Dreams game in Iowa for the White Sox first, and then the Cubs the next year. This is kind of the next installment in what I was hoping, and maybe still will be, a kind of thing all around the country, or could be around the world, where you bring Major League Baseball to venues that usually don't have Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
You know, they built the park in Iowa, but here this was an existing ballpark. It's the oldest working ballpark in America. But they spent $5 million to tilt this field a little bit to the left, to move the walls out 10 feet, to put up padded walls, to build new dugouts, I mean, this big-time renovation, a brand-new scoreboard they gave to Rickwood Field. And what a great benefit for Rickwood and the state of Alabama to have MLB infused with the money. And then here we get to see 8,300 people watching a Major League Baseball game tonight in this tiny ballpark. It should be, just on that level alone, with the throwback uniforms from the Negro Leagues, as that, of course, is the backdrop for the whole thing, should be a cool viewing experience tonight.
I mean, I don't think there's a Major League Baseball executive that could have told you the Field of Dreams was going to go as perfectly and flawless and as beautiful as both of them. But going back to the original, like, we don't know. We hope the White Sox and Yankees thing works. That was, I told you off air that it felt like we were part of a movie being filmed. It was like Field of Dreams 2 happening right in front of your eyes, yet this reality show of a baseball game happened with it. What they're doing, the idea of Rickwood is so phenomenal. It's so beautiful. And I do think Major League Baseball has more plans to do these type of one-offs to bring baseball to the rest of America and to inform and educate along the way as to why they're there. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, with Willie Mays passing this week, talk about like just adding another layer. I mean, they were already planning to honor Willie. That was the original idea behind this, is that Willie Mays he played for the Birmingham Black Sox. This was going to be a tribute to the Negro Leagues with Willie Mays there. And Willie Mays had announced earlier this year that he wasn't going to be able to make the trip. And as we know, he passed away a few years ago. Mm-hmm. So that layer of honoring, like, I'm curious to see when you get that type of news behind the scenes and you're producing something like that, how that changes everything. That changes the entire path of what you were talking about producing.
That's interesting, because I know it was already a big part of what they were doing. They unveiled this mural yesterday that maybe some people saw and were like, wow, that's cool. They did that for Willie. No, they were doing it anyway.
Yeah, they were already doing that.
This is his hometown. Like, his legacy and existence was kind of already baked into what they were planning to do. But now, of course, it is at another level.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, last night they did the moment of silence for around Major League Baseball. And every game they had the exact same moment of silence as a way to honor him in across the major leagues. But you would think that starting with the game open, starting with the show open for the pregame show, and throughout the game, I'm guessing, I think there's a patch that they are going to have even more Willie nostalgia and tribute than they were going to. I don't think it's going to offset any of the tributes to the Negro Leagues that they were doing. I don't think that is going to happen at all. I think everything's going to complement it and honor him the way he should be honored. because he wasn't going to be there in the first place, there was already, you're kind of honoring someone who's not there, right? Like,
yeah,
not that he had passed, but you're kind of doing that in a way. And to get this news, I think, make sure that you do it in the right way possible, knowing that he is not there.
In these past few days, I realized, oh, wait a minute. That's appointment viewing for me. I need to make sure I sit down. We got a night here with no Cubs and no White Sox.
No anything. It's an island, man. Like, we talked, there's no Stanley Cup. There's no NBA Finals. This is a major league, like, not every city, like, Chicago's getting this island of a beautiful production. Now, you might not care about the teams that are playing. But this, to
it's
me,
not about
it's
that.
Not about the game.
No.
Like, the game is like the background noise. You know, like, we were fortunate in Chicago to have both the White Sox and the Cubs playing those Field of Dreams games. So you had extra interest to watch. But if you were just watching from a production standpoint, there's going to be so much beauty and it's going to be like watching a documentary being filmed live. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, I like that. If Field of Dreams felt like you were in the movie itself, tonight it'll feel like you're inside a documentary.
It will.
Yeah. It's
That's what I expect to be. I expect to watch it like that. You know, there's going to be drones. They're bringing in extra cameras. There's just so much. They got it down to the uniforms of the broadcasters. I mean, they will have this thing ironed out perfectly. Fox does a great job in these moments every time that they've been given them. So I expect it to be a great production.
That should be a really interesting watch. And a couple other things about this thing tonight. It's an all-black umpire crew.
Yep.
There's only 5 black umpires right now working in MLB. There have only been 11 full-time black umpires since 1966. They also went and got the Atlanta Braves official scorer.
That's cool.
Who is a black official scorer. So they've got as many people representing as possible. And this ballpark tonight, man, 181 different Hall of Famers have played there. 181. It's the site of the first integrated team, site of first integrated crowd. And, you know, this was used, Rickwood was used for the filming of the Jackie Robinson movie 42, also used for the movie Cobb and for Soul of the Game in 96. So I'm looking forward to watching.
You said 181 players?
181 Hall of Famers.
There are 273 players in the Hall of Fame.
And 181.
So think about that. Like two-thirds of the Hall of Fame. I'm talking just the players, not the executives, managers, umpires, who have probably have been there as well. 181 of 273 players have played at least a game in Rickwood. That's incredible.
Pretty cool. Ryan McGuffey's in. It's Spiegs and McGuffey on Parkins and Spiegel. Top of the hour, Jonathan Papelbon, the former closer. We'll talk about ninth inning mindset. Talk about what it must have felt like for Colton Brewer or Keegan Thompson. Let's talk. I want to get your thoughts on the state of the Cubs and where things stand at this point. So we'll do that next right here with Spiegs and McGuffey on Parkins and Spiegel on the score.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station. The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Are you kidding me? Tune in to Twitch.
Afternoons on the score.
Have to celebrate wins. I mean, you celebrate wins, and then you go home and you move on to the next day, but you always celebrate the wins. Yeah, just we got to win games. I mean, you try to stack up wins, and we got to keep doing that. We haven't been doing a good job of that, so just stacking up wins is a good deal.
Going into game 2 of that Giants series, Cubs have lost 30 of their last 47 games. Now 2 wins in a row. Look at that. Huh? Yeah, there you go. Spiegs and Ryan McGuffey right here on 670 The Score. The Cubs are right there along with a million other teams for possible wild card position. How about the Mets coming to town, Guff? And all the talk before the year and during the first couple months of the year was, you know, the Mets will be a seller, Cubs will be a buyer, and here we are. Who's the buyer? Who's the seller? Are they in exactly the same place or what? They're both 3 games under 500.
I think they're both in the, we don't know. I think they're both, if I were predicting, I'd say both are more likely to buy than have one go sell. I mean, the Met, if one's selling, it's definitely the Mets.
Yeah, right. But it's crazy because I've thought of the Mets as a seller, but here they are. They just rattled off 7 in a row.
That market, though, that owner.
I know.
I mean, everyone's going to talk about last year and just go, just get in. Just got to get it. Got to be the Arizona Diamondbacks. Got to be the Texas Rangers. What were they? 5 and 6 seeds that met in the World Series.
If the Rangers,
4 and 5.
Yeah, Rangers don't win their last game of the year. They don't even make the playoffs.
Right. So like everyone's referring. That's the model. It's like we just get there. It's a grind, and then once you get in mm-hmm. and get hot at the right time. So with an owner that's frugal and desperate, I love that. At the same time, it can be very costly.
Got a new baseball boss that he hired.
Got a new baseball, a good one.
A good one. He's the efficiency guy from Milwaukee. Yeah. Like Andrew Friedman was the efficiency guy from Tampa going to the Dodgers.
I could see the Mets buying and selling. I could see them buying and selling.
Trying to do that needle thread thing.
It's a scary place to be, but I think you could probably, you might be able to do one while doing the other. I don't think you can trade 3 and buy 3. It's got to be like sell 1, buy 5 or something like that.
I'm having trouble, frankly, processing the baseball thoughts for the Cubs in this particular moment because you're not at the deadline yet. They're not to the point where they're feeling desperate enough to do some crazy stuff roster-wise, either be aggressive and go make a trade. Jed Hoyer talking about that again today in The Athletic and talking about, you know, how much it costs to be aggressive on the front end. They have some kids in the minors they're not bringing up. And Craig Counsell just told us the other day, said, quote, we're not there yet,
right,
unquote, in terms of, and that's when I was asking about Owen Casey. I was asking about Michael Arias or Ethan Roberts in the minors. He said, we're not there yet. Well, when do you get there? And until then, what do you do? So, but I don't even know if Counsell believes that, because look what he did in the ninth inning the last 2 days.
Yeah, I mean, does Neris have an injury we don't know about after he just had said that he's getting stick with Hector Neris? That's his spot. Like, maybe there is. We don't know. But, like, he's trying to thread the needle as well. I mean, the trade deadline. I understand GMs are the ones who are selling, and let's be honest, there's four teams who are very clearly have a for sale sign up: the White Sox, the Marlins, the Rockies, the A's. Right?
I don't know, but how about the Angels? Where are we on the Angels? Who are 16
Angels should
games
be there.
Back?
Yeah, the Angels. Maybe the Angels. Yeah,
I think the Angels should be there too.
Okay, fine. So, there's five teams.
Yeah,
that have for sale signs up. That's mm-hmm. it. Everything else. There's nobody else.
Boy, remember when the A's were actually showing you a little something?
Yeah, they've turned into the A's.
They have resumed being the A's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't live in a world that says you have to wait until the trade deadline, because that's another month plus that could, and maybe that's why they're doing it. Maybe they're, let's see, the last year. The Cubs were going to sell.
They waited.
They were going to sell.
They won 8 games in a row.
They had the players only meeting, and we're not doing this. Let's stay together and let's go.
Hold on. You're crediting the players only meeting. You're not crediting me and Elise Smenaker and Mike Esposito on the call for Cubs Cardinals when they swept that weekend.
I mean,
on the radio call,
I was about to get to that landing
it
spot,
didn't
but
seem
it very
like
clearly
you were
pissed
to.
You off.
Did you guys think that Guffey was going to get there? I didn't think he was going to get there.
Yeah, if you would have given him an opportunity.
Thank you. My God. Hold on. It's sweaty in here as a Cubs 8th inning. Jesus. I mean, like, let's go. Like, you talk about a 2-game win streak. You were lathered after those 2 games after watching Jorge Soler hit a grand slam and 2 walks.
How do you spell his name again? J-O-R-G-E. Okay, good. I'm just checking. I'm just double checking on that. Yeah, I understand.
There's
Jorge Soler.
Yeah.
There's like, why? What's the price for Michael Kopech?
I'm not interested from the Cubs' perspective.
You're out of your mind.
Really? You know that guy well.
Yeah.
You're telling me that I should trust that person mentally, psychologically, in a meaningful game in September and October.
Yes.
Really?
And my choice is what you have right now? Is my choice what you have right now?
I should give up something for the opportunity to trust Michael Kopech.
In the 7th or 8th. I didn't say 9th.
No, you didn't.
But I just said as a piece.
Pressure comes in the 7th and the 8th in September and October, too.
I understand that.
What Kopech am I getting?
Motivated.
Okay, motivated is fine, But at what point, when I'm putting him in that game, where is he on what seems to be the cycle of, I just have to throw it right down the freaking heart of the plate? Or, no, I can hit the corners calmly. I can use my secondary stuff. I can, I'm going to pop out of my shoes. I'm going to throw it 105 right down the middle of the plate. And then Mike Tauchman hits a walk-off. The equivalent of Mike Tauchman.
Right. And told you he's pretty much, knew exactly what was coming. Right.
Yeah. Where am I in that mental spin? Because I don't know where I'll be. That's why I'm not interested.
Okay. I don't think it would cost you very much to get somebody like him and I think he's got better stuff. I think
he does.
He's playing for a team that's 35 games under 500.
Oh, yeah.
And
this is the rare opportunity to actually know the person you're scouting.
Yeah.
It's a rare opportunity in town for us to know trade target. He freaks me out.
You're a starter, you're a reliever, you're a starter, you're a reliever, a starter going into spring, and guess what? You're a reliever.
Yep.
The message has been mixed, and it's not Michael Kopech's fault all the time.
Oh, so now this is interesting, because we were talking about this the other day.
So maybe change of scenery with a full ballpark.
Streamlined message.
And a pennant race gives you different results from player. I think you're going to see that from a few of the guys over there. Nobody, let's be honest. When you show up to the park and you're playing for something bigger than yourself every day, that's different. Mm-hmm. And there hasn't been that. Michael Kopech's been doing... He's been told different messages. He's been doing preparing. He prepared in the offseason to be a starter.
I know. And look, they've mismanaged a lot of people over there, but I feel like that guy's issues are on that guy. In this particular relationship, knowing what we know and hearing what we hear and seeing what we see, I feel like it is on him. So while I admit that the toggle back and forth, starter, reliever, starter, what are you, is one thing. The other toggle is what I referenced there, of that psychological spin of am I just going to fire it or am I going to pitch? Am I just going to fire it or am I going to pitch? And if anything, as a reliever, you're told just to fire it.
Right.
And that doesn't work because the fastball itself, while really hard and fast, doesn't move all that much sometimes when he tries to give it that extra bit of kick.
My intention was not to bogart this conversation to a Michael Kopech. Because even his role now is undefined. He was the closer, two inning guy, one inning guy. He's only going to be a one inning guy. And then he's going two innings the next night. Yeah. My point is there are guys out there, Michael Kopech and others to be named.
Okay, yeah.
That I think
I'll put it back in my pants.
That I think are. Could be a better option right now. Certainly give your veterans, the offense seems to be coming around of late, give those guys give your starters who go six innings and then turn it over and all of a sudden it's 6-1, you get Kyle Hendricks, the best Kyle Hendricks you've seen in 2 years.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's 6-1 and all of a sudden you're sweating again in the ninth. It's got to stop. It's insane. It feels like you're giving it away with a $230 million payroll. I don't think the Cubs are too good. Have the capability to be too good
to not
to let this continue.
I understand. I have a hard time giving up a prospect of consequence for a lottery ticket in the bullpen right now for this team. So what I would do is go down on the farm. That's why I keep bringing up the kids. I keep talking about the AAA kids and giving them a chance, real legit arms and different approaches that are down there.
I don't disagree with that. I don't know the option situation of everybody in your bullpen. So... If you're in a DFA situation,
you didn't prepare for work today.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know Mark Leiter Jr.'s how many options he has left, but I do know
he's not going anywhere.
I do know I would consider all of them.
I wonder how many options Nick Madrigal has left.
Ugh.
Yeah, we haven't even gotten there. There's a lot of places we can get.
I just don't,
as you bogart the conversation.
I just don't think that. Someone has to be the first guy to step up that's not named AJ Preller, because he seems to be the only guy that doesn't care about deadlines.
Yeah.
And you don't, and the San Diego Padres right now are the Chicago Cubs staring at a half game back of the wild card, and they'll go get three or four relievers that you might think are available at a lower price in a month, and he'll go get them now.
AJ Preller.
Good luck.
He's a madman.
He is an outlier. His ass is on the line.
Yeah.
And sometimes you need to play. I've been asking for desperation at times on the south side for 6 weeks.
I think we might be seeing
it. Year and a half.
I think we might be seeing it on the north side a little bit with the aggressiveness of giving Keegan Thompson a shot, giving Colton Brewer a shot in the ninth, and designating Yan Gomes for assignment. That's an OG. That's a guy they loved and a beloved teammate. And they're like, not good enough. Vamos, you know? Yeah.
And I was a big Yan Gomes. We needed a Yan Gomes signing on the White Sox.
Well, you could have him if you'd like.
Yeah,
670, the score is where you are. Let's talk to the former closer, the current media human, the always interesting Jonathan Papelbon. He joins us next right here on 670 The Score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.